Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I am welcoming back my friend and fellow admirer of all things techie, Adam Homey. We're nerds together, aren't we, Adam?
Yes, we certainly are, going back about 4 years now.
We are. Well, listen, Adam.
Yes, thanks for having me once again.
Oh, anytime. I'm thinking, and I probably shouldn't spring this on you on the radio, but I'm thinking we need to do a regular show. But anyway, let me introduce you very quickly. I sidetracked myself there. Adam works online with dozens of internet marketers, executive marketing solution providers, and professional service providers such as attorneys, accountants, financial advisors, and more. He is the founder and creator of Help My Website Sell and the Business Creators Institute. And as we mentioned, Adam has been here before. I really think you need to, our audience, I would like for you to go and find that interview. Just look for us in Blog Talk Radio or in iTunes. We talked about the much maligned Gmail tabs, and it's a very important interview, I think. Adam, good morning. Welcome back, and thank you.
Thanks again for having me. And, yeah, that thing on Gmail tabs was a lot of fun. Remember that about 3 or 4 weeks ago? And people
yeah.
were totally just freaking out, like, oh, my God, all my emails are going to go into the promotions tab. It's the death of my business.
Well, do you mind? I know we have a lot to talk about, but do you mind kind of recapping so people will understand why that was such an important interview?
Well, here's the situation. Gmail has been rolling out these tabs for about a year now. And about a month ago, they rolled it out to an entire batch of users. They've been doing it little by little, but about a month ago, they rolled it out to the majority of people who are using Gmail. And what was happening is folks like you and folks like me and folks like a lot of our listeners who use online marketing as a component of what we do to grow our businesses, we're finding that all the broadcast emails we send out to our opt-in subscribers were being moved into what's known as the promotions tab. And you're hearing so many people basically freaking out over this, saying, oh, no, all my emails are going to go into promotions and nobody's going to read them. And then you have the business coaches jumping up and saying, yes, now you know what to unsubscribe from. So people are thinking, oh, goodness, is this the end of my business as we know it? And my point was that it is not the end of your business as you know it. What it is the beginning of is the time of being truly smart about your online marketing, which means when you send out emails, you're going to send out emails with great subject lines that are going to get attention, and the content just has to be better. It also requires you to be more active and effective on social media so that you can find your way into the social tab as well. You may recall, and I think we had a discussion about this actually inside your group on Facebook, there were so many marketers out there sending these emails begging and pleading and cajoling, saying, please, please, please move my emails into the primary tab. And meanwhile, you had so many people online also on Facebook chattering, you know, basically making fun of it, saying, well, why should I move your emails into the primary tab? What's so primary about your home study course to me? And people were unsubscribing from that. So it's all about a mindset and an approach and what you need to do to be serious about making money online or growing a business online, whether you're a local business or whether you're an online-based global business or a combination of the two.
You know what startled me? The mindset. I mean, we
yes.
work online. Most of us work virtually at some level. You know, it doesn't matter if we have a brick and mortar. It doesn't matter if we're a combination of virtual and brick and mortar. We're online. We're using technology that changes while we're sleeping. I think what really startled me was the tragedy of it all, and I am being sarcastic. You know, it's like, really? I mean, did you expect Google to just kind of stay there forever and ever and not make any changes or updates or kind of go with the flow?
Right.
That's what they do. And I don't think I've ever seen such a tsunami of grief in all of my years as an online business person.
I know.
What it said, it was sad. I mean, I am being a little bit sardonic there, but and I'm still. You're probably like me, still getting those emails from people who may only mail out once a month, and darned if they're not following right in lockstep with everybody else. And go, please add me. It's like, I just don't understand it. I'm like you. I think it's such a huge opportunity to embrace new technology and new ways of doing business. We have to do it all the time. So why is this such a big deal?
All it does,
that's what I don't understand. It's just such a big deal.
Yeah. All it does to me is it validates what I've been saying for so long. And one of the points that I have been saying is you need to be persistently consistent with what I call your website conversion conversation, which is that whole process of developing know, like, and trust, because I view the promotions tab as a great opportunity. Now, if you're only emailing your list once a week or once a month and you're being real timid in your approach, yeah, you are going to lose because you're just not going to show up in that promotions tab very often, which, I mean, is basically you're going to be throwing away a golden opportunity. What I like about the promotions tab, originally I had taken away the tabs in my Gmail, and then I decided to put them back because here's how I look at it. The primary tab is going to be stuff. It's like my clients and my primary business and service notifications for stuff I've bought, things like that. So this is the stuff that I need to check. It's critical to my business. The social tab is for when I'm being social and I can see, well, who tagged me or who mentioned me on Facebook, and your name keeps popping up here. And
I'm very
awesome.
Busy.
Yeah, which is awesome. I get a very warm, fuzzy feeling every time I see that. And then the promotions tab, when I'm in the promotions tab, that means I'm open to seeing what other marketers are doing, the people I follow, the people whose lists I'm on. At that point, I'm actually kind of open to it. I'm taking a break from the primary, which is the business, and I'm moving over to the promotions, and I want to see what's out there. What are people saying? What are people doing? So I view it as my education time. So I'm going to open up some of these emails, and I can tell you right now, I'm looking at my promotions tab right now. I'm not going to call anybody out on this show here, but I'm just getting a quick scan. I'm thinking some of these subject lines are actually pretty interesting, and I'm definitely going to read these. And then there are others that say, your weekly update. Okay. All right.
And I wanted to ask you about that. Don't go away from that. We're going to come back to that, and I'm writing it down. So keep on going.
Right.
Okay.
And then,
go ahead.
Then,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I needed to interrupt you so I can remember.
It just says your weekly update. My weekly update of what?
Right.
Now, just to give a quick example here, there are some very slight, subtle differences you can make with your subject lines to make them stand out. So if you're just typing your weekly update as a subject line, well, yeah, I've gotten about 5 weekly updates today already. What makes yours different? But then if you type something, and I actually am going to call out Jim Palmer, the newsletter guru here, because he's right here in my promotion tab right now. He's probably out on the kayak right this minute, or he might be listening. And hi, Jim, if you're listening.
You're out there on the boat, so hi.
He sends out an email that says, your smart marketing update. Okay, cool. I'm all about smart marketing. I'll open up this one. And then you open it up and you see the information about what's going on in this week's Stick Like Glue radio show, and what's going on in Newsletter Guru TV, and he's making an announcement about he's going to be speaking next week in Pasadena, California. I wish I was there myself. So this is actually a pretty good email, and it's got some great information on it, and it shows me a lot of value. But just a slight change in the subject line from your weekly update to your smart marketing update, that tells me why I need to open it. So sometimes it's as simple as that. You don't have to go all the way into advanced neuro-linguistic programming techniques, although I do use those, and I admit it, and it's actually very powerful for my business. But sometimes it's something just that simple, and that is just one quick example of how you can very quickly start being smarter about your online marketing and your email marketing in the era of the Gmail tabs.
Well, and we had a very vibrant discussion, not in the group. And for those of you who are asking to yourselves, like, what the heck group are they talking about? On Facebook, I have a group called Your Virtual Assistant. And we have close to 1,000 people, and it is a very active and very vibrant group. And if you have any interest at all in either talking to a virtual assistant or being a virtual assistant, or you are one, ask to join our group. It's an excellent, excellent group. I can't tell you how helpful these people are. And you're one of them. You jump in and answer questions all the time. And I really, really appreciate that. But we had a conversation. Yeah, I mean, you really are very, very helpful in that group. But we had a conversation, and I should have posted, my pleasure, and I should have posted this in the group, but I didn't. You know, I just went on a little bit of a rant on my personal page talking about subject lines. You chimed in, Jim Palmer chimed in, and somebody at the end of the thread basically said, wow, I've learned more here than some of the courses that I took. I mean, there were some great, great comments about the subject lines, and we're not yet to where we want to be with this show. I know we need to talk about our actual topic, but the subject lines are very, very important, and I agree with you. But what I wanted to go back to, Adam, was something you said, and I'm so sorry I interrupted you. Blog broadcasting. I use and love AWeber for a lot of things, and when I'm blogging daily, that blog broadcast goes out, and I haven't tested yet, and I'm hoping you know the answer. Where do those wind up, do you think, in the tabs, in the Gmail tabs? Because they are going out every day.
I'm willing to bet you those are going into promotions.
What I've noticed is that when they first implemented this,
again, I'm not Google, I'm not the people with Gmail, so I don't know the exact algorithms, but my suspicion and my belief is they figured out very quickly who the major email marketing providers are. So they looked at One Shopping Cart, they looked at Infusionsoft, they looked at AWeber, they looked at GetResponse, they looked at iContact, and they figured out what IP addresses and what servers those companies use. So they set up their algorithms that anything that comes from one of their servers automatically goes into promotions unless the individual user drags it over to primary or what have you. I think that's a piece of it. I also believe they have other clues that they look for, one of which might be they may look for the word unsubscribe, because pretty much every broadcast email, including mine, that gets sent out that is compliant with CAN spam or whatever rate or whatever relevant law, depending on what country you're based in, will have some word like unsubscribe, change your subscription, change your options, or something along those, or to be removed from the mailing list, because usually there'll be something like that at the very bottom where people are able to opt themselves out of receiving those emails. So I am willing to bet they have some sort of algorithm that scans the emails and then looks for those key phrases, and if it sees those, it says, oh, this is probably a promotion because it looks like a permission-based email. Over to promotions, this one goes.
Right. Well, I've wondered, and I haven't really taken the time to, you know, maybe go into a dummy account that I've got set up and test it there, but I'm going to have to do that because I'm curious. You know, these things go out daily, 3 o'clock every day, and I'd like to know where they're going.
Right.
So, well, listen, before we get started on our actual topic, and thanks for kind of backtracking to our last program and what's going on in Facebook, because it's important. That's really where you can find us. Is, you know, mostly me on Facebook, but tell people a little bit about yourself and where they can find you on the web.
All right. Just to tell you very briefly about myself, what I do is I help folks who are online marketers or those who help online marketers succeed implement simple website conversion strategies that work and simplify their internet marketing technology. If you really want to get a great sample of what we do and how it can help you, I would urge everybody to go to www.businesscreatorsinstitute.com, and you can go ahead and sign up. It's completely free. It's a membership site where you'll see inside approximately 20 hours worth of teleseminar training programs on various topics related to online marketing and website conversions. And for those of you who follow our weekly Tuesday technology tips, which are my favorite emails to create, the only place you'll find the sorted library of those, the only place where you'll be able to look them up by category and go back and see the complete archive, is inside the Business Creators Institute. So if you love the Tuesday tech tips, get inside the Business Creators Institute, and that's where you'll find the entire list sorted by category.
Great. Thank you. You know, I have to, and I've said this on the radio before, I have only a few people that I'm subscribed to under my private email address, just a few, a handful.
Yeah.
You're one of them. Jim Palmer is one of them. My friend Larry Wingate is one of them. Everybody else goes to a junk account that I have. It's a Yahoo account. And everything else goes over there. And when something pops up and I'm all of a sudden on somebody's list, I know good and well I did not subscribe. I know I didn't. So, and it may, and I don't know how these, and these are big marketers getting my private email address somehow. Drives me crazy. So I would very politely send them, you know, back a note and say, I lie to some of them. Just say, I'm already subscribed on another email. I may not be. I just don't like that. But I use my junk email as kind of a swipe file. I will go over there and look at everything, and it's not sorted very well. It's Yahoo. It's not sorted at all. But it gives me an opportunity to look at what people are talking about, what's trending. You know, look at some great subject lines, look at some really tacky subject lines. So that's where I put all my stuff. I tend not to use Gmail for newsletters, and I probably should use it there more. I don't know. I haven't made that decision yet. And the reason is because I get hundreds of emails every day. And I'm not sure that I'd want to have them go into my Gmail account at this point.
Right. Because we can get inundated pretty quickly. Oh. One of the points I made about why these email tabs might be actually a good thing for online marketers is, think about it. When everything was under one tab, you kind of made the case for this with what you just said. Everything gets dumped in one place. So let's say, for instance, I sent you an email because you're on my list, and I was announcing last chance to sign up for my teleseminar that's in 2 hours. Chances are that's going to get buried under your client stuff. So by the time you even log in there or see my email, there's 18 other emails that have shoved it down. But if it's in the promotions tab, it's more likely to be in your first monitor scroll, which means it's more likely to be found and more likely to be acted upon if I've done my job of providing relevant, valuable content and creating emails that are just begging to be opened by using powerful subject lines and all those strategies that we need to be doing. For those who were so worried that nobody's going to be opening their emails anymore with these new Gmail tabs, I know that my open rates have not declined, and a few of our clients, I've checked in with them, their open rates have not really declined either. So whatever this death of email marketing is, I don't see it myself.
I've been hearing that term for about 10 years.
Yes, I know.
It's been around forever.
I don't understand
why, because everything is email. And now, I mean, Adam, everybody's got their cell phone in the hand, they've got their iPad in their hand, you know, their tablets, all their little mobile devices. What are they doing? They're checking their email, they're checking their text messages. Email is not dead.
Yeah, I don't see that it's going to be.
If
you could see me right now, I have two computers turned on in front of me, each of which is in a different place, and I'm holding my Samsung Galaxy Note 2 in my hand. So that's three internet-connected devices within arm's reach. One of them literally connected to my arm, so it's not going to be hard to reach people.
No, I think the thing is that we need to get, well, there's no question about this, I don't think it, I know it, we need to get smarter about how we communicate with our audience. And I'll be honest with you, if all they're doing is trying to sell me something, my spidey sense goes off and I'm out. Now, if you are a resource for me, and I really appreciate what you're talking about on a regular basis, you're sharing information about your own industry that may be compatible to my industry, or maybe even not, maybe you're just really interesting. I want to hear good stories. I'm from the South.
Yeah.
We like a good story. We tell a good story. You know, I don't want somebody going, buy this now. Nope. I am just cranky enough to say nope, and I'm gone.
Nope.
So I think the smartest thing to do is build that relationship, build that trust, and that know, like, and trust factor, and then start marketing. I think too many people market first and try to build their likability last. And that, to me, is just, as we say in the South, bass ackwards.
Yes. I've heard that phrase myself.
I bet you have. So, okay, now, I know what we wanted to talk about today, because we're going a little bit far afield, but you and I tend to do that. We have so many interesting things to talk about. We do. You had mentioned in the Facebook group the other day three ways to grow and get new clients for your online business without spending a dime. Now, that is a bold, bold sentence. So go. Show us how.
All right. This came up because in one of the conversations, somebody asked a question. Actually, it wasn't in your group. It was in another group I was in very recently. Somebody asked a question, if you need to get a new client today and had a $200 marketing budget to use to go get that client, how would you spend that $200? Now, you asked me that question. There are many ways you could potentially spend $200 to get a new client. Just off the top of my head, let me list a few of them. One of which is you could do a media buy. You could do some pay-per-click to bring visitors to your web page. Now, that could work if your website is optimized to convert those visitors to prospects, to customers, and if the visitors you're attracting are pre-qualified, prepped, and pumped. When I hear that phrase, drive traffic to your website, I'm reminded of when I used to have a job for a living, and I used to sit in traffic. That's what traffic means to me. Traffic means a lot of sitting there wondering, just watching your life tick by. I don't want traffic to my website. I want visitors to my web pages. So again, you can spend $200 on PPC, but these are all the things you have to keep in mind. I told that in sort of a story form so people can get a sense of what are some of the drawbacks of taking that $200 and throwing it on PPC and hoping it gets you a new client. So you have to make sure your website's ready to convert them, and you have to make sure you're attracting the right people in the first place. If you're running Facebook ads, you're running AdWords, is there some option inside the ad settings that says only target the people that are likely to give me money today? No, it's a guessing game, and it's an experiment. Another thing you can do is you can hire someone to help step up your social media efforts. So if you don't have time to be on all the social networks yourself, hire somebody to help you do it. I have a team that helps me do it because I can't be in every place at every time. I mean, I'm involved in all the social networks I play on, but I can't do it all myself. There's just too much. Now, that may get you a client today, it may get you a client next week, it may get you a client next month, but if you haven't been doing that, then you need to start doing it. Because as my friend Marty Higgins, founder of the International Educational Finance Institute, has said over and over again to his financial advisor clients, he says, if you need a new client today, you need to start getting them 6 months ago. If you have not been doing stuff on social media, right now, if you have not been active on social media, contributing to the conversation and adding value, right now is your 6 months ago. Get on there and do it. Another thing you can do is you can get a book published on Amazon Kindle. I'm probably going to have one up before the end of the year. I know I've been saying that since 2009, but I think this is the year I'll finally do it. And that's
hey, let's
great
challenge each other. Do you want to challenge each other? Because I've been saying the same thing.
All right, you do
you
want to
have
and
a
I'll
race?
Do one.
Yeah, let's have a race.
Let's have a race. Let's absolutely have a race. Denise, real quick, do you know of any good courses on how to get your book on Amazon Kindle? Because I've been kind of struggling with that myself, trying to figure out how the heck.
Yeah, I know several, and as soon as we get off the phone, I will go ahead and compile a list of them for you, and I will also put that list into the VA group.
Right. And I may have a couple, too, but we can cover that later. So getting a book on Kindle is a great way to raise your expert profile and be seen as an expert, which makes more people more likely to hire you. So these are all things that people say they would do if they had $200. And any of those strategies I just described, you can get that done with about $200. Even hiring a team to help you with your social media, $200 will be a couple weeks worth of their work, which will be just enough to get things going. So, and then off low hanging fruit, there's a good chance you'll attract a client that way, which is perfectly fine. But if I were to answer the question myself, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to book the client at no cost, and I'm going to take that $200, and we're going to have ourselves a hoedown.
I'm sorry.
We are going to have a night on the town. We're going to paint the town red on that $200 because I'm not going to need that to get a new client.
That's right. And here's something else that you can do, and we've got somebody in the chat room we had a conversation earlier on Facebook that I wanted to kind of circle back around to. But here's something, too, Adam, that you can do. You don't even need to spend that $200 as far as I'm concerned. You look at your clients. They are your warm market. They already love you. They love what you do for them. They admire you. They respect you. They have faith in your work. You get on the phone and you call them and say, listen, I've got a slot open up. Do you have anybody like you? I want somebody like you who is smart and savvy and knows what they're doing. I don't need a newbie. I don't want to take that learning curve with somebody. I need more clients like you, and they are delighted to help you out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So so there's three things I want to share with people, and I want to give some examples. So, but let me start with the very first one, and this is always my number one recommendation. Always my number one recommendation. Now, you were talking earlier about your Facebook discussion group called Your Virtual Assistant. The very first thing that I would recommend anybody do is find discussion groups on Facebook and on LinkedIn and join them and become part of the conversation. And there are essentially three types of discussion groups you want to join. So pick a couple of each, find ones that are active, and go from there. The first one is going to be people who are in your target market or niche, the people who you want to hire you, the people who you want to have become your customers. Find out what they're asking, find out what their problems are, and start solving their problems. The second group are peers in your industry, birds of a feather flock together. And you want to belong to groups like this so you stay current on the latest and greatest, and it gives you a real-time benchmark for how you're doing with your business, so you're not missing any trends, so you're not the person out there on the island talking about yesterday's strategies when everybody else has already moved on. And then there's a third type of group you should belong to, is you should find people who are peers in your industry but are folks who are more advanced than you. Now, I almost hear the shuddering going through the interweb saying, oh, my God, I can't participate in that. These people are so smart, and I'm just little no-account me. Well, if you join groups like that, this will up your game. There is nothing to get you to up your game like a challenge to do so. Plus, I want to make a very important point. Some of these folks you'll find in some of these higher-level discussion groups may be industry leaders. They may be making 10 times the amount of money as you. They may have all the clients you wish you had, but I'll tell you what they don't have is a corner on the world knowledge. They know what they do, and they do it extremely well, obviously, because they're successful. You know things that they don't, that they need to know. They have gaps that they need filled in. They will appreciate and love you because you can fill in those gaps. If you have somebody who has a seven-figure info marketing business and they're asking questions like, what's the best webinar software out there? Well, funny thing, they probably don't know everything about webinar software, do they? So if you know about webinar software, you know, little old no account you has the opportunity to potentially revolutionize their business and help them get a lot of new customers. You don't think they're going to appreciate that?
Exactly. And here's the thing, Adam, and I'd really like to stress this. It's just a conversation. I mean, we have conversations all day long. You pass somebody in the grocery store, they smile at you, and you stop and chat, and you can talk about their shoes, you can talk about whatever. It's just a conversation, but you contributed something. They contributed something. And I've said this before, and I know you've heard me say this. Online entrepreneurs are the most remarkably giving people in the world. I mean, we are really easily accessible. Ask us questions. We want you to succeed. We want to see other people be able to do the things that we do. You know, we're not sitting in a corner of the lunch break room and clutching our little folder to our chest and saying, you can't see this. I mean, we want you to have the information we have. So ask. I mean, I encourage everybody, especially in my VA group, if you have a question, ask. If I can't answer it, somebody in here sure can. And I learn things from my VA group every day. I'm like, whoa. I didn't know that. Woohoo! And I add it to my little list of knowledge, and off I go. I'm very appreciative of everybody in there because they're so helpful.
Right. Now, before we move on to the second point, let me just share a couple recommendations when it comes to what I call discussion group game. If you go into a discussion group and you start posting affiliate links, if that is a strong discussion group with good moderators who know how to build an effective discussion, they will ban you instantly and you deserve it. So do not go in there and start posting affiliate links. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to go into a discussion group and be able to thoughtfully answer questions and never once post a link to anything. I'm going to challenge you to do that. Even if you just wrote this whiz-bang of a blog post and it turns out that that blog post is the exact answer to the question that's being asked, don't say, I covered that on my blog. Here's the link. You don't want to do this for a couple reasons. Number one, because you're posting a link, it makes you look like somebody's trying to sell something, even if you're not trying to, quote-unquote, sell something. The second thing is, remember, the the people who own the discussion group own that discussion group partially out of altruism, but also because they want to grow their own business, their own expert profile. They want to grow their own network. And if you start posting links and taking people out of their discussion group, they're really not going to appreciate that. So even if you just wrote the answer on that blog post you did just yesterday and it's the answer to this question, take 10 seconds and summarize the blog post. I mean, in this case, mm-hmm. it's probably mostly a copy-paste. Keep the conversation in the room. Now, if you find somebody in a discussion thread, and things are starting to feel like maybe the two of you really should talk offline, or maybe you feel the what you offer in your business really could help them, at that point, I encourage you to say something like, if this is something you want to discuss in greater detail, go ahead and send me a friend request and then message me, and we'll go mm-hmm. from there. And every time I do this, I end up with at minimum, two scheduled phone appointments, and almost every time I do it, I end up with a new client. So that's how you do it. And then there's another thing that I see people do in discussion groups, which I'm going to tell you not to do, which is never inside your own response to a discussion thread or your own discussion thread. You're starting within that group. Say something like, contact my office to schedule your free consultation. A couple years ago, you have to go back about three or four social media managers I've had. You have to go back about three or four back in time. So we're going a couple years ago. Somebody was curating my involvement in LinkedIn and went into one of my discussion groups and posted this response to a discussion thread, and they called me up and they said, you got to see what I just posted in your discussion group. Now, I didn't answer the phone live. I listened to their voicemail because, believe me, unless I'm an introvert by nature, so unless it's scheduled,
me
chances
too.
Are I'm not going to answer live. I know that. I've sensed that in you for a long time. You and I have that in common, which is one of the reasons I feel drawn to you. So
I'm a classic introvert. Trust me.
Yeah. So I saw it. Yeah, me too. I read this stuff, and it's like I think Susan Cain wrote that book about me. I'm telling you, it's crazy. So I went and I checked it out, and I saw this post. It was about 9 long paragraphs long, which is one thing you don't do. You don't write long paragraphs on websites or on social media or in emails because it hurts people's eyes and they can't comprehend it. You keep things short. So that was the first mistake. The second mistake is they had me bragging about my case study results, and it looked like they copy-pasted stuff from my web pages, which is you don't respond with testimonials. And then the third thing they did is they had this really long paragraph that explained how to go to my website, how to click on such and such a link, and how to schedule a free consultation with me. And if they wanted to just call my assistant, they gave her name and her phone number and everything else. And and I called back about 2 minutes later, and they said, well, what'd you think of the LinkedIn post? And I said, yeah, I deleted it before I get banned from LinkedIn. Where would you get the idea that you would type something like that? The bottom line is, be a friend who helps, and you will get far. Now, this may sound counterintuitive, but this is, in some ways, the answer to that question, how can I sell without selling? Get into mm-hmm. discussion groups on Facebook and LinkedIn and start contributing and be that person that everybody looks at and says, wow, they really know their stuff.
Right, right. You know, back
the winner,
in,
and everybody likes to play with the winner.
That's exactly right. And back in the day, and I think we knew each other back then too, when I first started Your Partner in Success Radio, it was 2009, and I'm pretty sure we've known each other that long, if not longer.
Yes.
And one of the very first interviews I had was with Jack Humphrey, and at the time he had the Friday Traffic Report. And I'm not sure if he still has it now. I know he's doing a lot of things, but that's Jack Humphrey. You know, he's a big marketer, or he was.
Yeah.
And I haven't really kind of kept up with him. He's got a great personality. And his wife was literally born in my backyard. I live in what is used to be a sugarcane plantation, and of course now it's been knocked down over time. And she was born back there. I mean, I can look past my fence and see where the overseer's house used to be. So it's pretty interesting. But anyway, one of the things that he said to me very, very early on when I was getting into social media and understanding social media was that, Denise, you don't want to be seen to be marketing. You want to be a resource. And I'm paraphrasing. I've kind of put my own spin on what I took out of it, but this is what
I took.
Of course. You don't want to market. You don't want to be in your face, buttonholing somebody, grabbing them by the collar, and saying, listen to me, buy my stuff. I'm the best and the greatest. You want to be a resource. And the way he put it, Adam, has always stuck with me. It's just one of those phrases that I latched onto and went, oh, that makes perfect sense. He said, you want to be seen in the corner of their eye. You want to always be there. You want them to be able to see you out of the corner of their eye. They can pay attention or not, but they know who you are. They know what you're doing. And when the time comes that they need you or need your services, you are top of mind. Brilliant.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. I couldn't have said it any better myself.
Okay. So that is ready for number two.
But that's always been my marketing plan, and I think it's yours too. Okay, so let's go on to number two.
Okay, this one, if you thought to get your discussion group game on was easy, you're gonna be blown with this one. Call somebody on your friends book face list.
Do what?
Or call somebody on your Facebook friends list.
Call them? You mean pick up the phone and actually speak with them?
Yeah, seriously.
No, you're out of my comfort zone now. Okay, so explain this one to me.
All right. Okay, I'm hearing a little bit of echo in the line. Do you hear it?
Yeah, a little bit, and I'm hearing a little bit of delay, but we'll have to work around it, I guess.
Yeah, okay, I know which voice is yours, so I'll be able to follow, so that's fine.
Okay.
All right, so here's what I did. I'm going to tell you a really quick story. This happened about 3 years ago. There was somebody who was on my Facebook friends list, and she had been following some of my stuff, and I had been following some of her stuff. She owns a transcription company, and I needed a transcriptionist, so one day I just picked up the telephone and called her. And she was, like, absolutely stunned to hear my voice on the phone because she had been following some of my posts on my blog and doing some things that I was recommending in terms of starting to grow her transcription business online. It was just blown away that I called her out of the blue. And long story short is we ended up hiring each other's services and we've continued to be each other's clients. And all that happened simply because I picked up the telephone and called her.
Right. Well, and that does make sense. And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about a little while ago. People feel like they may not be smart. I don't know why people won't just pick up the phone and try to reach you, but they don't. Maybe they feel like they're bothering you or something. I've never quite been sure what that's all about. But I had a girl email me in Facebook and said, I'm just desperate. I need some advice. And she left her phone number. She said, you know, I know that you don't have time to talk with me, but I'm just at my wit's end, and I needed a break. I needed to hear a friendly voice. I picked up the phone, call her. And this was a year or two ago, and, you know, I told her who I was. My number's blocked, so fortunately she answered the phone. I said, well, this is Denise Griffiths, and there was silence. She said, the real Denise Griffiths? And I started laughing. I couldn't help it.
Right.
I said, well, yeah, there's only one of me that I'm aware of. You know, how can I help you? We had a great conversation. She's now part of my team, has been part of my team for a long time. But she said, I can't believe you called me. I was like, why not? You asked me to. No, I can't with everybody. But anytime I can, I'm happy to.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I can't answer every incoming call that comes in, and knowing what classic introverts you and I both are, the chances are pretty rare that I'll personally answer the phone, but I will tell you, sometimes I do.
Right.
As an introvert, I'm sure it's not going to surprise you one bit that if you were ever to call me, like if you have the toll-free number and the extension, it's going to be one of those things where it has you announce yourself and then press pound. Yeah. So I know who you are even before I pick up the phone. So in a way, that helps increase your chances you're going to get through to me because you're not going to be a mystery even if I don't recognize your number on my ID. So there is a chance that you may call me and you may get me on the phone live, and who knows how that could affect things, and vice versa. I've learned that sometimes I just pick up the telephone and call somebody, and it's amazing what can happen. You can end up with new clients. You can end up with new business partners. It's just a wonderful opportunity.
It is, and it's not something that you can do all the time every day because, look, I've been on some of these calls that they were just supposed to be a quick, well, listen, what can I do to help you? You know, somebody in the group or, you know, somebody who maybe wants to work with me or for me. And 2 hours later, I'm like, holy cow, I've got to get back to work. It's been nice meeting you.
Exactly.
Sometimes you just need that break. You know, you need that break. You need to interact with other people and see what you can do to help them and find out what their skill levels are. Listen, no matter what their skill levels are, in the businesses that we operate in, there's always something new to learn from somebody else. Always. Every single conversation I have during the day, I take away something new.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just waiting for the lag to catch up here. I'm doing
yeah,
the best I can.
We do have a lag.
Something weird's happening in a line, but we're going to keep soldiering through.
Yeah. I'll try not to. And that's why I find I'm talking over you. It's not deliberate. It's just happening because of that lag.
That happens a lot with my phone as well. I don't know why that is, but it's just what it is. So it's one of those things you learn to accept and love.
Okay, so the third point, did we cover the first two adequately?
The first two we've covered pretty adequately. The third one I want to mention, this is also pretty simple, is to host a teleseminar, host a Google Plus Hangout. In fact, right after this interview, I'm going to be co-hosting a Google Plus Hangout at localtoglobalmavens.com. It's going to be about backlinking and how that's important for search engine optimization and search engine marketing. So just by doing things like teleseminars and Google Hangouts and webinars, these provide ready-made platforms for you to show your brilliance. People will sign up for these. They will attend these because they know that there's a specific time they need to be there. It's like a use it or lose it. And it gives you the opportunity to really share your brilliance so that people can see how you can help them. I would make the same case for a radio show like Your Partner in Success Radio. This is an opportunity to provide to your list and your fans and followers every week to see your brilliance and the brilliance of those around you. So this is a great customer getting toll for you, I'm sure, I would imagine.
You know, and you're bringing up a very good point. And two things come to mind when you say that. One question that I get when I'm booking people on my show, invariably, they will say, well, who's your audience? And I always have to say, I don't know. I don't have a clue. It's geared towards business. It's always in the business category. I try to talk to people who are entrepreneurs. You know, you are the people that I want to chat with. So I always just say, well, I think it's business. Well, you know, what are your audience demographics? And I just flat tell people, I don't know. All I know is that the show gets downloaded 4,000 to 6,000 times a week. So somebody is listening. And that's just in Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what happens in iTunes. I don't check it. But here's the, and then the second question is that when people are coming to me and saying, well, why should I start a radio show? What's in it for me? How do I make money out of it? To my distinct knowledge, I have never made a dime out of this show. But I probably have and don't know it. You know, people are coming to me because they hear this show. They hear what we're all talking about. I don't know, but what it does, it extends my reach, it extends my audience, and it lends credibility to what I'm talking about because of the quality and the caliber of my guests. So have I ever made a dime out of it that I'm aware of? Somebody will come to me and say, okay, I want you to build my website and here's $5,000. Not to my knowledge. I don't let that hinder my progress. I get to talk with the greatest people. I get to learn something new, and we get to share, you, me, and all my guests. We get to share what is so important to us, and we feel it's important enough to share with you, the audience. So have a radio show. It's free on Blog Talk Radio.
Right. I'm going to be starting my own radio show pretty soon. I originally was going to do it earlier this year, and then a couple things changed in the business, but it's going to be kind of the same thing. And the reason why I'm going to do a radio show just as you do is it extends your reach. It's more places where you show up. And the other beautiful part about a radio show is you don't want to get necessarily stuck on, do I have 18 people in the chat room? Do I have 500 listeners live? When you do an internet radio show like Blog Talk Radio or one of its competitors, the idea is to get reach through the podcast. That's where your real reach is. That's where your real downloads are. That's where people really access you and you start to show up. The idea is it's the viral side of it, the podcast side of it, where your message spreads. And because you have that online radio show, that's more opportunities to communicate with your subscribers, your fans, and followers to let them know what's going on, more opportunities for them to engage you and you to engage them so that they can see your brilliance and you can see how you can help them and vice versa. And it just helps you show up more. It helps you be more present. So let's say somebody's coming looking for somebody to build their website for $5,000. Are they likely to go with the unknown, or are they likely to go with the industry-recognized expert?
And that's exactly right. I mean, I'll tell you why I started my radio show, because as a classic introvert, I also come with a couple of phobias. Number one is I don't like water. I always live near water and on water. I can't swim, so I don't go in the water. But I'm also terribly offended when people try to take my picture. This has gone back to, you know, when I was 5 years old. I do not want my picture taken, period. I think it's an intensely personal thing. I don't think people have the right to do it. And I'm not going to plaster my face all over the internet. I'm a very private person. So it occurred to me back in 2009 that I needed to let my voice be heard if I wasn't going to show my face and my hair and my bikini and everything else that people put out there. I needed to get my message out in the only way that I was comfortable with doing, and that was using my voice. And it has been a remarkable journey for me.
Right. If I can make a little point, Denise, you and I have known each other for 4.5 years.
Yeah,
I don't have a
like
clue
that.
What you look like.
I'm gorgeous.
I'm sure you are. And I've actually asked several of our mutual friends, and I've had a couple of our mutual friends ask me what you look like. And the closest I've ever come is that there's somebody out there who says that she's seen you, and she says you're blonde. That's the only thing I've been able to find.
I'm not blonde.
Well, that's
not even close.
That says you're doing a really good job.
I'm nowhere near blonde. I have very dark, almost black hair. The closest you're going to get is go to my Twitter profile, and you can see my eyes there. That's it. That's all you're going to see. And actually, somebody took a photo of me and did a little cartoon of my eyes. So,
okay.
That's it. I'm a very private person. I don't want my picture all over the internet. And frankly, I don't like my picture taken. So it's my phobia, and I'm going to keep it. And radio works for me. It really does work. And I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So Blog Talk Radio is free if you have a half-hour show. If you want to do anything longer than that, you have to pay the premium, which is, I think, what, $39 a month?
Yeah, it's a very, very small dollar amount. I mean, it's less than the cost of a dinner.
Right, that's exactly right. So what else did we want to talk about today? I know we've got a lot to cover, and we've got about 10 or 12 more minutes.
I know. Right now, I've covered most of my points, but I want to add on to something that we've been covering for the past couple minutes here, which is the whole thing about how your camera's shy and everything else, and to an extent, I'm the same way. There are not a whole lot of pictures of me out there that weren't posed, because I do not like when people come and point a camera at me. When I go to, like, family functions or things like that, I will refuse to have my picture taken. I will get in arguments over this. I do not need to have my photograph taken. I just don't feel that I need it. Most of my photographs are at least slightly airbrushed because I don't like how I look. Folks have been trying to get me for years to point a webcam at myself and just speak into the camera versus doing the Tuesday Tech Tip, which is a Camtasia shoot. Now, if you want to see me on camera, you can join my Local to Global Mavens Google Plus Hangouts every Friday. You will see my face on camera during those video broadcasts. But outside of that, I'm just not going to do it because I really don't feel comfortable doing so. I'm the type of person who needs to do like 18 takes, and I just don't have the time or the energy to spend in it. And really, I just don't like how I look. So I know that I have other ways that I can communicate with people, so I'm going to focus on those. So the point being is there are so many different ways you can do this. There are so many different ways you can get new clients. There are so many different ways you can grow your business. Don't do something just because somebody's on you saying, oh, you have to do this, you'll never succeed.
That's a bunch of smack.
Fact is,
and that happens,
there is something
else
that you can do to help you succeed that will work for you.
And I'm so glad we're covering this, because years ago when I first started out, Joel Kalm was, you know, one of the very first, I think, pieces of the first ebook that I bought and added to my entrepreneurial library. And at that time, Adam, remember, all the websites were HTML. We didn't have, you know, WordPress. We barely had GUI. I mean, websites were kind of a mess, very primitive back then. And if you saw a picture of anybody at all, it was on a professional website, a business website, where you had, you know, the guy who was the CEO of the company, and he was posed like his grandfather's banker, you know, with the big picture and his, you know, his tie, and, you know, that's all you ever saw. And I remember when people started going, oh, and I think it was Joel Comm, or right around that time, you know, Joel Comm, the godfather of Google AdSense, and darned if he didn't put his picture up on the internet, and I went, that's not a good idea. And around that time, people were saying, well, you've got to put your picture on the internet. Me being me, I don't like being told what to do, for starters, and I'm an introvert for another thing. And I'm like, no, I don't have to do anything. But Adam, at one point, I had somebody come to me. She wanted to, you know, I think
Do you hear like 4 levels of echo here?
No. Is it really bad? Maybe if you turn off your iPhone or something.
It's probably just happening on my end, actually.
Yeah, actually, I can hear you just fine. But there is that big delay.
Okay, so you don't hear me echoing over like 5 times?
No. Tracy, I can see you in the chat room.
Denise, I just solved it. Okay, cool. So I actually figured out what was wrong. I'll tell you later. It's actually kind of a funny story, but I just figured out what's wrong. So now I can hear you like you're right here. All right. So,
well,
yeah,
Tracy,
you're absolutely
says in the
right.
chat room, you're fine.
Right.
But no, I had somebody. I'm sorry. I had somebody come to me and say, well, I can't do business with you if you won't put your picture on the internet. And I emailed her back very politely. I said, do you not do business with Comcast or AT&T? I mean, that's really kind of a silly argument. Tell me what to do is my point. So.
Right, exactly. I love that. I never quite thought of it that way. And here's the thing I think of, too. I've had people saying, stop doing those Tuesday technology tips where you're doing Camtasia shoots. Get on camera yourself and explain it to the person.
No.
It's like I know how to build know, like, and trust. I do it and I teach it. And I don't need to be on camera all the time and do it. And whenever somebody it seems like they're really trying to pressure you into doing something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable, when there are so many things out there that you can do that will be effective, that will feel comfortable, if you attempt to do what they're trying to force you into, it's going to take away the momentum of your business because it's going to feel like a chore or a job or a boss ordering you to do something versus something that you're doing because you really feel that it's the best thing for yourself and for the growth of your business, and it's the best possible way you can take a stand for your customers. If you don't feel that, you're just not going to do it. So the idea of me going on camera, I mean, aside from the Google Plus Hangouts, I do it once a week. So if somebody wants to see my face on video, get on the Google Plus Hangout. You'll be treated to me for an hour. I mean, that's perfectly fine. But outside of that, you're just not going to see a whole lot of it. You're not going to see a ton of pictures of me out there. I mean, it's no secret what I look like. If you go to my Facebook profile, there really are pictures, and that actually is me and not a hired model. But I will also tell you that the majority of those pictures, before anything gets posted online, it usually goes to my designer first, and she usually touches things up a little bit. I'm not a bad-looking guy, but I'm one of those folks. Have you heard the thing about how the camera adds 10 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
The camera adds like 50.
Is that true?
It seems like the more I lose, for me, it feels like the camera adds like 50. It's like the more I lose, the more it adds.
Oh my gosh!
And
well, not everybody.
Some people are just like that. Like I have one buddy.
Yeah.
He's a buddy of mine. He's 6'2", weighs about 160, 165 pounds. You know, he's about as thin as a beanpole. He runs marathons. And he's one of those people who could eat like a triple cheeseburger with extra bacon and actually lose weight from the metabolism of the energy it takes for him to digest it. He's one of those. You know,
I hate him.
I know, seriously. Somehow the camera gives him a double chin and a pot belly. I don't know because he's so thin you can almost see through him. But some people are just not blessed. Some people are just not blessed with photogenic looks, and I'm one of them. So I'm not going to force myself to do something that's not comfortable for me, and nor should anybody who's listening.
No, and I agree. And I've had several people, you know, one of my clients is a very well-known psychologist, and periodically, and I think he just does it for fun now, he'll say, you know, I can help you with that. Nope, it's my phobia, and I'm keeping it. Thank you. And that's just how people do it. And I just, even if I did want to, I really value my privacy. And here's the thing about radio, and I want your opinion on this, Adam, because to me, Video, I find video very distracting. You know, you're looking at the ring on the hand and you're looking at the mouse and you're looking at everything. You're not hearing the message, I don't think. You're too distracted by what's going on in the person's face. You know, there are just too many distractions for me. I prefer to hear a voice. That's just me. That's how I learn.
And I think that a number of people are like that. Every Tuesday when I do our Tuesday technology tips, this is me filming on Camtasia an exact how-to on how to do something that will simplify your internet marketing and help you spend less time editing and maintaining and more time educating and marketing. And the reason that people love our tech tips, and I get so much feedback on this, is because I'm not trying to be salesy. I'm not trying to make you look at me. I'm going on screen. I'm saying step one, step two, step three, stop, start, pause, and rewind, and make this work for you. And I have done almost 100 of these, and I've never once had to show myself, and they are one of the strongest leverage points for my business. I've lost count of how many clients I've gotten because people saw the tech tip and reached out to me asking questions, and then we ended up in conversation, and we discovered that we could help each other.
Well, I'm building a course on Udemy, actually a couple of them on Udemy, and one of them is about podcasting, you know, how to start your blog talk radio. You're not going to see me on video. You will see some slides. You'll hear my voice, which is what it's all about, after all. But I'm not going to get on camera to do this. I mean, there's no
need. You don't have to. Not what you do.
No, not what I do. But to go back to what we were talking about a bit ago, when I first started out and people, you know, kind of jumped on that whole, oh, you know, it's all about me, me, me. You've got to, here's my pictures and here's my kids, and that's a whole other story.
Right.
You know, I think so many of these kids in their bathing suits should not be on Facebook, and we can talk about that another time. That just makes my teeth snap together. I think it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I've had a few people over the years saying, well, you know, you're just not doing it right. You know, you don't have video products out there, and I can't see your face. You don't need to see my face. You just need to know my expertise. And, you know, and if you don't understand it from the body of work that I'm putting out, and if you're not willing to get on the phone and talk with me or listen to my radio show and understand that I have this level of expertise, I'm fine with letting you go because you're not going to tell me how to run my own business. And this has been my business model forever, and it works very, very well for me. So you people will come and say, okay, you know, I've got to have video. I've got to do it. And they're breathless. I've got to da-da-da-da-da-da. No, you don't. Do what you're comfortable with. Build what feels right to you.
Right. That's absolutely right. And the other point I make is there are so many social media platforms out there. There's no way you can possibly be on all of them. What I say is find out where your best prospects are hanging out and go hang out there. Give them what they need in the language that they understand, and you will get new clients and not have to spend $200 to get those new clients. It's really that simple. I mean, I use LinkedIn for my business attraction strategy. That's where most of the new clients of the business come in. I do participate on Facebook. We have a fan page. It's mostly there, truth be told, for search engine marketing purposes. That's really why we use it. It's just not a real big core piece of revenue or a core piece of leads for us, which is perfectly fine. But, you know, on Facebook, it's mostly about me building connections with people that I want to be connected with and vice versa. I tell, like, personal friends and women in my life and such all the time that, you know, if you want to friend me, that's fine, but you're mostly going to be listening to a lot of stuff about business and cats.
Me too.
Yeah.
If you want to, I'll show you pictures of my garage and my cats. That's it. That's all you get.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we have to wrap up here.
What we do, and here's the thing, and I want to touch on this briefly, and we can talk about this again. On Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on the radio, you want to be personable, not personal. And there's a fine line there. You have to be very, very careful. So we've got 60 seconds. Well, Adam, is there anything that we missed? This hour went so fast.
Oh, I know. It just they just fly by, and I know as soon as I hang up with you, I got to jump on my Google Plus Hangout. So just final point is look for things that you can do to get new clients that involve building know, like, and trust, and involve just being social in the way that you feel comfortable being social, and you can get a new client quickly without having to spend any money at all.
I agree. I do no advertising. I never have. I'm 100% referral-based. It works, and it's taken years to build that up, but, you know, it hasn't. Well, when I say years, I've been that way for a long time. You just
right.
have to get out there and be the best you can be and be the best resource you can be. Adam, thank you so much for being with me here today, and I really love the information that you share. I know our audience appreciates it just as much as I do.
Thank you, Denise. It's always an honor to be here, and I look forward to us doing it again real soon. Thank you very much,
no,
and everybody who's listening.
Well, great. And go on to your call. I'll finish up the show. Well, listen, thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. You can find us in iTunes. Just type in our name. This is Denise Griffiths and Adam Homey wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. And thank you to everybody in the chat room.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.